Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app.
It's great to be here.
Today, we're going to talk about something that, well, everyone has an opinion on, but very few of us really understand. We're talking about fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for most of us, the mental model of fat is pretty simple. It's, you know, the enemy. It's just passive storage. You eat a burger, the energy goes into this vault, and it just sits there.
Right, the Tupperware model of biology. An inert container. And honestly, for a long time, science kind of treated it that way too.
But that's not the reality, is it?
Not at all. I mean, adipose tissue, fat, it's actually a complex, highly active endocrine organ. It's communicating constantly with your brain, your liver, your immune system.
An organ, you're saying it's an organ, like the heart or the lungs?
Absolutely. It secretes hormones, it regulates appetite. But here's the real hook for today's deep dive. The mystery isn't just that fat is active, it's that we might be navigating our understanding of metabolic health using completely the wrong map.
The wrong map? What do you mean by that?
Well, think about a medical checkup. You go in, they draw some blood, they tell you about your lipids, your cholesterol. We just assume that what's floating in your blood perfectly reflects what's happening inside your body's tissues.
That seems like a pretty safe assumption. I mean, if it's in the blood, it came from the body.
But what if it's not that simple? Imagine, you want to know how a factory is running. Right now, what we do is we stand on the highway outside and we count the trucks going by.
Right.
And we assume that traffic tells us everything about the assembly line inside. But what if the factory is operating under a completely different set of rules than the highway?
So we might be diagnosing diseases based on the traffic while the whole factory is, I don't know, burning down.
Exactly. The question we're exploring today is, does a blood test actually tell you what your fat cells are doing? Or is there this black box of genetic regulation inside the tissue itself that we've just completely missed?
And if we open that box,
we could find new keys to treating diabetes, heart disease, and this one is going to surprise you, kidney failure.
Kidney failure.
Yeah.
Okay, now you definitely have my attention. We are going to get to that connection. But first, we need to recognize the team that actually broke into the factory.
We certainly do. Today, we celebrate the work of the Department of Twin Research and Genetic Epidemiology at King's College London. Specifically, we're looking at a paper by lead author Shenyu Yan and senior author Karen S. Small.
And this is brand new research.
Very new. Published in the American Journal of Human Genetics on February 5, 2026. The paper is titled Genetic Regulation of Fatty Acid Content in Adipose Tissue.
Okay, so before we get into the how and the what, let's establish the why. Why are we so obsessed with fatty acids? I think most people just hear fatty acids and, you know, think calories.
We have to respect the fatty acid. These aren't just fuel. Fatty acids are the structural building blocks of your entire body. I mean, every single cell is wrapped in a membrane.
A skin, basically.
A skin, exactly. And that skin is made of fatty acids. They're the bricks and mortar.
And I guess the type of brick matters.
The type matters immensely. If your cell membranes are made of, say, saturated fats, they're rigid, stiff. If they're made of unsaturated fats, they're more fluid and flexible.
And that flexibility is important for cells to talk to each other.
Precisely. It affects insulin sensitivity, how neurons fire, everything. Now, for decades, we've done these massive genetic studies, GOA, on fatty acids in blood plasma.
Right, because blood is easy to get.
It's easy. But we know very little, almost nothing, about the genetic regulation of fatty acids within subcutaneous adipose tissue, the fat right under your skin. And that's a huge blind spot.
So how did this team fix that? Because I'm guessing you can't just ask people to donate a chunk of their stomach fat for science.
Well, actually, that is pretty much exactly what they did. And this brings us to the methodology, which is just impressive for the commitment alone.
We're talking about the Twins UK cohort, right?
Yes. The study had 569 female twins, and these women agreed to undergo abdominal punch biopsies.
Ouch, I'm wincing just hearing punch biopsy.
It's a significant procedure. They took a small core of tissue from just below the belly button to get these actual subcutaneous fat samples.
A huge shout out to those 569 women. That is dedication.
Truly. And because they used twins, they could do something really powerful. They could estimate heritability.
So they could separate what's genetic from what's, you know, diet or lifestyle.
Exactly. By comparing identical twins who share 100% of their DNA to fraternal twins who share 50%, they could figure out how much of your fat's makeup is written in your genes.
So they get the tissue. Then what?
Then they throw this multi-omic stack at it. Think of it as layering different types of maps on top of each other. First, gas chromatography to profile 18 specific fatty acids.
So, the chemical inventory.
Yeah.
What the fat is actually made of.
Right. Then, genotyping to look at their DNA, their genetic blueprint. Then RNA sequencing to see which genes were actually turned on or off in that specific tissue.
Okay, so what the factory is actually doing.
Exactly. And finally, they looked at DNA methylation.
That's the epigenetic layer, right? The sort of dimmer switches on the genes.
You got it. And this is the crucial part. They also took blood serum samples from the same twins at the same time, so they could do a direct head-to-head comparison.
Okay, let's get to it. The findings. You said blood and tissue might not be telling the same story. What did they find?
This was the first major surprise. They found that, yes, adipose fatty acids are heritable, but the patterns differed wildly from what we see in the blood.
Give me an example.
Okay, take myristic acid. In the blood, in the serum, it's 44% heritable. That's a huge genetic component.
44%. Okay, pretty significant.
But in the adipose tissue, the fat itself, heritability was zero.
Zero. Hold on, 0%.
0%. Your genetics have essentially no say and how much myristic acid is stored in your fat cells. That is all down to your environment, your diet.
Wow. So a doctor looking at my blood could say, oh, this is genetic, and be right. But for the fat in my body, they'd be completely wrong.
Completely wrong. And it happened with oleic acid too, the most common fatty acid in our fat. In serum, 40% heritable. In adipose, zero.
That is just mind-blowing. It really proves that two operating systems idea. The body has one set of rules for logistics, for transport, and a completely different manual for the warehouse.
That is the perfect analogy, and it gets even more nuanced. They found that the ratios between different fatty acids were even more heritable than the absolute levels.
Why do ratios matter so much?
Ratios represent enzyme efficiency. It tells you how hard an enzyme is working to convert fatty acid A into fatty acid B. And that conversion rate, that efficiency, is highly genetic.
So our genes aren't controlling the raw materials, necessarily, but they're controlling the machinery that processes them once they arrive.
Precisely. And that led them to the GWS hits, the specific spots in the DNA controlling the machinery. They identified 10 genome-wide significant loci.
10 spots. And were these new?
8 of them were completely novel, never seen before in studies of adipose tissue.
That's huge. It's a new map.
It is, but they also confirmed some known players, which is good, it validates the method. They found the SCD locus and the FADS locus. These are the master regulators.
Desaturate, so these are the enzymes that turn saturated fats into unsaturated ones.
Correct, they make the fat more fluid. And this is where the tissue specificity gets really cool. The study showed that the SCD locus acts like a local manager. Its regulation seems to be specific to adipose tissue.
Okay, so SCD is the foreman on the factory floor.
And FADS is more of a regional manager. It works across many tissues, pancreas, lung, artery. But SCD, that's local control. And they could prove it with that multi-omic stack.
The colocalization.
Yes. They didn't just find a correlation. They traced the causal chain. They showed that a specific genetic variant at the SCD locus changes the DNA methylation.
The dimmer switch.
Which then changes the SCD gene expression, how much enzyme gets made, which then finally changes the ratio of fatty acids in the fat. They connected every dot.
That's so satisfying. It's a mechanism, not just a correlation.
It is. But if you want the real plot twist, we have to talk about the kidney.
Yes, the kidney connection. We're deep in belly fat, and suddenly kidneys enter the chat. How?
So among those novel genetic hits was a locus at a chromosomal address, 3P25.2.
3P25.2, got it.
This locus regulates arachidonic acid in fat tissue. Arachidonic acid is an omega signal, and it's a precursor to a lot of inflammatory molecules.
Okay, so it's tied to inflammation.
Right. Now, when they looked at this genetic signal, this variant, they realized something. This exact same signal is a known risk factor for kidney function traits.
Wait, what?
Yeah. EGFR, creatinine, cystatin C, all key markers of kidney health.
So you're saying the same gene variant that decides how much inflammatory precursor I store in my fat is also determining how well my kidneys work?
Yes. It's a shared genetic root. It's what we call pleiotropy. It suggests that the composition of your fat is intrinsically linked to your renal health.
So what's the cause and effect there? Is the fat causing the kidney problem?
That's the million-dollar question. The study shows they share a causal variant, so the biological pathway is shared. It could be inflammation spilling over from the fat and hitting the kidney, but the implication is massive.
A future pharmaceutical target.
Exactly. You could potentially treat the fat to protect the kidney. You can't just treat the kidney in isolation anymore. It's all connected.
And they didn't stop there, right? They also looked at polygenic scores.
Right. A polygenic score is like a genetic report card. It sums up thousands of tiny genetic variants to give you an overall risk for a trait, like BMI or type 2 diabetes.
Your total genetic baggage for something.
Correct. And they found that a person's genetic risk for having a high BMI was directly correlated with the chemistry of their fat.
And what did that look like?
People with a high genetic risk for obesity had, for example, lower levels of saturated fats and higher levels of certain unsaturated fats in their tissue.
So your genes are trying to build a specific type of fat, not just more of it.
Exactly. Your predisposition for obesity is actively shaping the chemical composition of your fat stores. It's not just about quantity, it's about quality.
That really changes how you think about it. It's not just calories in, calories out. It's calories in, then build this specific chemical structure based on a genetic blueprint.
It adds a layer of determinism, but also opportunity. If we know the blueprint, maybe we can intervene.
Now, we have to be fair. No study is perfect. What are the limitations here?
The biggest one is the sample. It's exclusively female and exclusively of European ancestry.
Right. And men and women store fat differently.
Very differently. And these associations can vary significantly across ancestry. So we desperately need to replicate this in men and in diverse populations.
And the sample size. 569 is a lot for biopsies, but for a GWA.
It's small. The fact they found 10 significant loci with that number just shows how strong these genetic defects are. But there are almost certainly many, many more signals they missed.
So we're just seeing the tip of the fatty iceberg.
The very tip, yes. But it's a fantastic start.
So let's wrap this all up. What's the big take-home message? Why should I care that my fat has its own genetic map?
The core insight is that we cannot rely on blood tests alone to understand metabolic health. Adipose tissue has its own distinct, heritable genetic control system. This study provides the first real map of that system.
And it shows that what happens in your fat doesn't stay in your fat. That kidney link is proof.
Exactly. And it leaves us with a really provocative prompt for the future. If our fat tissue has its own genetic operating system, are we treating metabolic diseases by looking at the wrong map? What happens to personalized medicine when we start treating the tissue, not just the circulation?
Imagine getting a fat profile that tells you your kidney risk 10 years from now. That is a fascinating thought.
It would revolutionize preventative care, shifting focus from managing symptoms in the blood to managing the source in the tissue.
Well, on that thought, we are going to wrap up this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base. Tissue with a